Today, we check in at our hotel. We're going between the pages of issue 20 of the LSP magazine. Michel and I explore the principles and values that shape every LEGO Series Play Workshop. From the 100-100 principle to psychological safety and how we deal with challenging moments. The famous elephants in the room. Join us for a deep and honest conversation about what really matters in facilitation. And of course, the full video is available on YouTube and Spotify. Welcome to the Bricks Boutique Hotel.
Hello, Matthias.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
So,
I mean, it's rather obvious what we will talk about today.
Yeah, right? I think so.
The LSP magazine, principles and values.
Number 20.
Number 20. Congratulations, by the way. But I can't repeat congratulations all the time. So,
No. It's
why?
Good. No.
Yeah. Why are they important? What do you mean? Oh, no. Let's step back. What are principles and values that are related to LEGO Serious Play?
Yeah.
Or to our workshops?
So, in the conversation, let's mix them up a little bit. Yeah, so this is not a podcast about what is exactly a principle or a value. They are related, and let's not go much further than this one. So, a couple of things that are related to LEGO Serious Play. One thing I like very much is the 100-100 principle. The other thing is that we as facilitators, but also the participants, respect a couple of principles, rules of LEGO Serious Play. It is about you can't build wrong, or meaning that everyone is right. It is also, what else do we have? Don't judge. Don't judge. Ask questions. Don't judge. It's also about the value of psychological safety that you create. Shall we leave it for now for and a kind of...
Not interpreting is one, I would say, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so not interpreting, no judging. Yeah.
And thank you. You're welcome. The first that you mentioned was the 100-100. So 100-100 means that 100% of the participants, so everybody, participates with the whole knowledge, right? With 100% of the knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, why are these principles and values, why are they important in our workshops?
Well, one of the beliefs, I think, that's another word, my God, behind it is that everyone can contribute. Meaning, you might be involved in a topic, you might have thoughts about it directly or indirectly, but your perspective or sometimes even opinion matters or could matter. So, and I love that so much that you involve people who are related, who can contribute to a answer. And that's something completely behind it. So also the people who might not always stood up or immediately grabbed the microphone, they are invited to the table to contribute. And that's something I love. So that's one of the reasons. And the other thing, just shortly to address, that doesn't mean, I mean, you start your workshop addressing maybe this topic, or you should address this topic, but that doesn't mean that in the dynamic of the workshop, you know, everybody holds his ground or something like that. And that's a challenge for the facilitator. You know, how do you respect this value, also kind of rule, of LEGO Serious Play? So that's also why we brought out this magazine. So what our facilitator doing when they step into a dilemma or somebody indeed wants to take over?
Mm-hmm. How do you think does the method support these principles and values?
Well, there are a couple of things that I always mention to facilitators. Is one of the other things of Lego Serious Play is that whenever you have built your insight, is that people stay to the model to explain what their insight is. Literally don't move away from the model and start having a conversation like we are having now, but address what the meaning of the different bricks and the way you put them together in your model, what the meaning is. And as a facilitator, you address that at the beginning of your workshop, but also during that, when people move away from the model and start talking kind of in this space, you know, then it's like, go back to your model. Can I see this? And this kind of supports the facilitator a lot in making sure that everyone has a voice, that everybody has more or less the same time to explain things, to clarify questions. A very, very important element of Lego Serious Play. Stick to your model.
So, but does this mean that it can vary the amount of time that people use when explaining their models?
Could be, of course, absolutely, could be. People get the same amount of time of building, yeah? But of course, some people may be quick builders or have another imagination that gives insight to the question, where other people trying a lot in the building and et cetera, et cetera. So it could be that in one model there's more to tell about than in the other model. Okay. I don't generally like to put limitations to the explanation time. It could be something that you as a facilitator could use, making sure that you level also the playing ground for everyone. My experience over the years is that if people stick to the model, more or less, they use the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not calculating if one get 10 seconds more or less. That's not the point. More or less the same amount of time. That's my experience. Okay. But again, there are, of course, possibilities to say, hey, you know, focus on your story and bring the story out in, for instance, 2 minutes. It could be a helpful tool for facilitators.
Okay, but typically this is rather in extremes, right? Because if you limit it, you might run into the risk that this person doesn't tell the whole story, which means you don't have the 100% contribution, right?
Exactly. And what you will get there, because that is something you have to allow as facilitator as well, that the colleagues, they address questions to that model. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you didn't have the time to explain everything, then colleagues will ask questions. If not, as a facilitator, you actually have to ask questions, because there could be that one brick that isn't addressed. There could be a very important contribution to the workshop. But it's like I said, from my experience, it's not that if they stick to the model, it's not that one takes 10 minutes and the other one only has 1 minute or something like that. It is more or less close to each other.
So we know that the stories are developing while you share the stories of the model, which we call story making, not storytelling, but story making, right?
Yeah.
And so what can happen is that people realize something which is completely different and which might not have something to do with the story of the model. Now, there is a quote from Ruth Kohn that we use a lot in German. It means Störungen haben Vorrang. So if you would translate it, it's more or less like, if something gets in the way, let's address it before we move on. So now, how would you deal with that in LEGO Serious Play?
Yeah, so that's also something that you bump into in a workshop, and then you go back to the methods and a couple of values that you might have in terms of, you know, what is my assignment? Do I stick to the assignment? Was that clear? Or is it indeed that such a, as you say in Germany, such a Störung, is in the way of getting to a possible outcome? So there you might have a dilemma as a facilitator, is what is it you're going to do? Is it that you follow that a kind of insight, I wouldn't call it a rule, a kind of an insight that you say, you know, if there are things on the table, you know, the famous elephants or something like that, do you address that? And how are you going to address that? What is also the approach that you're going to take? Are you going to stay to the bricks and let the bricks do the work through your hands? Or are you going to switch to maybe a different instrument or method that you're also capable of delivering? So great questions for you as a facilitator is what are you going to do? One more remark. There was an article in this magazine where one of our colleagues bumped into such a situation, and it was completely at the end of the workshop. So there was the limitation of time. You know, what do you do? Are you going to say, you know, we need to address this and everybody stays half an hour? Probably not possible. So what are you going to do with such a dilemma if it just happens and it is on the table? There are no fixed solutions for every situation, but that's why we from the magazine said, hey, this is something to exchange articles about and to think about and see if there is a kind of a framework where you can work with if you bump into these kinds of things.
Just being curious, you said you can address this with the bricks and let them do the work.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? So you were talking about the famous... let me quote you, the famous elephant in the room. So yeah. if suddenly there is the elephant in the room, what would you do? What could you do?
Yeah, so sometimes I joke a little bit. I say I can only do one thing and ask people to build it. But actually that is what I do. I stick to the methods because, you know, if you address this elephant and you know you need to address it, therefore it's an elephant, then you can change to other methods, and people do that. It's like I said, I don't do it, maybe because I can't do anything else, like I said. But the good thing is that I, again, in the 100-100 principle, for instance, I address that as well in terms of... I want to have everyone's insights on the table in what is your opinion about this elephant, or how are you want to address this, or what could be a way out, you know, to get the elephant out of the room. And people need a bit of reflection time for that, which is the building time. And sometimes the elephant is so delicate that... that I also wanted people to stick to their model and explain it through their model, depersonalize things, so we get every insights on the table. So I just use the methods to address the elephant, whatever the elephant stands for.
And what you just said is the let them have the explanation, or let them build the explanation what the elephant is. This would be one question. And another question after sharing could be how to get it out of the room. Is this what you mean? Yeah. Or? Okay, good.
Go yeah. You know, it might in a lot of situations not possible to fix the issue in the moment itself. It's also, it depends a lot on the situation, but it could also be something that it's not your thing. But you, like I said, you have to address it. And the Lakers series play method is also for that a great way to address what is really going on. And like with every complex issue, it also to put possible solutions, answers on the table. And then it's up to the team, the manager, leader, or whoever is in more or less of such a position to take it further. And by the way, in the example that I used, they took another workshop. So they finished it in that moment, leaving things behind as they were. But during that period afterwards, they figured out we need to do another workshop to get this back on the table and find a way out as a team. So also a great way to navigate through these dilemmas.
I already got back to your 100-100 that you that you were mentioning in the beginning, and I still have another question around that. So
okay,
what happens if you have people who have, let's call it issues, to participating fully to a workshop? So what happens if you, compared to the others? So what I'm aiming for is, what happens if you have unprepared, maybe? Someone entering the room and you see this person and you realize this person is handicapped in one or the other way. I mean, we are all handicapped in one or the other way, but something.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Also there, by the way, in the magazine, I need to just mention it. There is an example of a facilitator who was, how do you call it? I didn't expect it. And then you feel a little bit like, oh, what am I going to do with this? You know, can I ask this person to build? I think this person was missing an arm. And how are we going to do that? Well, I have actually three things. I had other situations, not that much, but a couple of others. One is that the people themselves who have what kind of handicap or they have, they lived with that all their lives, and they have found ways and solutions to deal with it. Just ask them how you can support them, what they need. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Just ask them. The other thing is that if you have a team, the colleagues know this person already for a long time, probably, and they also know, you know, how to support it, and they will do that. As simple as that. It's their way of working together. So that's another thing. Like a facilitator already mentioned that more or less, is don't try to figure out things yourself. Just ask people. They know what they need, and if they need anything and stuff like that, and just ask them up front, you know, what is it I can do for you? And they will give you an answer, and you can adjust. It's bottom line, that simple. But I also know from my first time, it's a little bit, it's unexpected, and it could be a little bit overwhelming, and you want to do the best for those people. But you're trying probably a little bit too hard. Just ask them.
So in fact, it gets back to the 100-100 that we do in the workshops. We ask the experts, and the experts are the ones who have the who are dealing this with the situation, and these are the ones who can solve it. So it's the same thing here.
Yeah. Right? Actually, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Great. So I'm really looking forward to finishing the magazine. And
all right.
So there is on the last page. Well, it's not really the last page. It's a page before the last one. There is always an article on Outlook, which is called "What's Next."
What's next? Exactly.
So what will be the next topic?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the moment, you know, this one is out. We are already working or preparing the next one. That's always a bit funny. But the next one is it's the following. So thinking about the end of the year, the beginning of next year, in a lot of countries, it's that time where people kind of gather together, share stories, reflecting. So I wanted to have also stories of facilitators that inspired them. It could be on a personal level in terms of becoming a facilitator. It could also be a story that inspired them to do a workshop or develop a workshop. So it could also, and I'm looking forward, because we had a couple of examples about stories from their culture or their region or their history that are funny stories or good stories or whatever it is, but also a source of inspiration, for instance, to cherish a couple of values and also as a facilitator, or to be inspired by. So I remember in, I think it was number 18, we had the story, the very famous French story of Le Petit Prince. We had another story from Ireland, very great storytellers. So I'm curious, what story inspired you, either as a facilitator or in helping a group or a team or people or organization as a source of inspiration?
Wow.
I'm very curious what comes up.
Yeah. So I'm curious as well. And maybe we will read something about Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Who knows?
Rudolph. Yeah. Well, hey, that's your thing. So come up with a story, Matthias.
But in order to do this,
all right,
I have to get back to the reception first.
Yes, yes. Because first do our work.
There are already people over there looking and waiting for us. So let's do this first.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you, Michel.
See you
soon.
Bye.
Thank you for checking in at the Bricks Boutique Hotel today. If you enjoyed the podcast and want to hear more, subscribe to stay updated. If you'd like to explore more of what the Bricks Boutique Hotel has to offer, visit our website, bricksboutiquehotel.com. And remember, there is always a room for you at the Bricks Boutique Hotel.